Today's scripture reading will be Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. And God's word said, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receiveth of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him." Amen.
Please turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We'll start there, and then we'll go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, so you can prepare for that. We had a good day yesterday. Brother Chris Maltman had this idea to go up to Bear Mountain, and we did. We had a really nice time. And we climbed up to the top and got to see a beautiful view up there. Some teenagers went. We had a really great time with them. Some of the others there. We walked around the lake and just had a good time, I think, of a fellowship. And maybe we'll go back because there's a lot of mountains to climb, I think, up there. Right? All right. Galatians chapter 2:20 is the message. As we begin, I want to speak using this as a springboard text on living the gospel. And today we'll see how we need to be living out the gospel in our work. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe on in what He did in the gospel, and that He died, He was buried, He rose again. And then that affects everything that we do in our life, and it changes everything in life. And so today we want to see how this changes even our work environment and our attitude toward work. Galatians 2:20, God's word. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this time. We pray that you will bless us, dear God, as we consider how your gospel changes every aspect of our lives, whether at work or at home, whether out in the community, Lord, and that you would allow us, give us your power, grant us the power of the Holy Spirit to live the gospel, dear Lord, even in our workplaces. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. William Carey is called often the father of modern missions. He lived toward the end of the 1700s and into the 1800s. Really, what we do as a church in our missionary outreach, William Carey was one of the first, if not the first, who stood up to a group of pastors and said, "We need to carry the gospel to those heathen places of the world who don't know of Jesus Christ." And some told him to sit down, that when God was ready to convert the heathen, he didn't need any man to do it. Well, William Carey said, "We need to attempt great things for God and expect great things from God." He kept a map in India in his shop because by trade he was a shoemaker, a cobbler back in the day they called it. He was a cobbler by trade, but he kept a map of India that he made out of leather from the shoes in his shop, and he would stop and study that map and pray over that map. Because he was also a preacher on weekends, a cobbler during the week, his shoe business suffered. One day a friend admonished him for neglecting his business. And Carey said, "Neglecting my business?" He says, "My business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only cobble shoes to pay the expenses." That is a good way to live out the gospel in our workplace. You might want to jot that down. Put that little quote in your Bible. "My business is to extend the kingdom of God." Is that our business? We only do what we do 9 to 5 in order to ultimately extend that kingdom. That just pays the expenses. So may God give us that heart of William Carey. So what I have today to say today really isn't too deep or too doctrinal, and I hope it's not dry. It's extremely important that we believe the gospel and then experientially live the gospel in our lives. And that means in our workplaces. Yes, we love this verse of scripture. Let's say it again together, please. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So based on this verse, just look at it. Does Jesus change the way we live all of life? Does He? Does He change the way from before we were saved to after? Does He change the way we live all of life? Absolutely. He says, I am crucified with Christ. That's a big change. The old man is dead. But yet, you're still alive. You're a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. A sacrifice has no rights of its own. It's completely given over to the Lord. We're a living sacrifice. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Who lives in me? Christ in me, the hope of glory. And now the life which I now live. You see, it's a new life. This isn't the life that I had before I was saved. It's entirely transformed because of the gospel of Jesus. I'm crucified with Him. You see, what I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again for my sins. That's salvation. But now I believe I'm dead with Him. And He's alive in me. That's my sanctification being worked out. The life which I now live. How do I live it? By what? Faith. In whom? In Jesus Christ. Where? Where do I live this faith? Where do I live it out? Everywhere. Everywhere I go, right? We don't compartmentalize it. Well, it's Sunday morning. I'm going to live out my faith. Yes, we live out our faith Sunday morning. That's why you're here. But Monday morning, you need to live out this faith of Jesus Christ more, just as much, I should say, just as much Monday morning as Sunday morning, and especially Thursday morning, and then Friday morning, every day of the week. The life which I live by the faith of the Son of God. Why do I live this life? Because He what? Loved me. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. What a great verse. So, just this morning, how does the gospel affect our work? How do we work now as a Christian compared to how we used to work? Compare it in your life. Think about that. How do I relate to coworkers now that I'm a Christian? How do I relate to my CO? How do I relate to others who might be my equals on the job? How do I relate? How does the gospel motivate me to wake up and to live out my work life? Let's face it, we spend a whole lot of time getting ready to go to work, going to work, traveling home from work, and then just getting ready when we get home to get ready to go back to work. And we do it to make some money. Let's face it, if you didn't get paid, I don't think you'd work. Because we have to live. So the question is, how interested is God in this process? Is He interested when the secretary's typing a letter for her boss? That's not an epistle from Paul. Does a sanitation worker can he say I'm serving God when he takes somebody's filthy garbage and throws it into the truck? Can he be emptying garbage for Jesus? When you have to take a plane to go try to close a deal, and you're in a plane and you're in a train or you're in a taxi to go or to come in traveling, are you serving Jesus? In that new business you're starting, the clients you're gathering, the interviews you're having, the meetings, the negotiations, the conventions, the luncheons, the people you're connecting with and talking with through the day. How does Jesus relate to all of that? How about the mom who changes a diaper Is she serving Jesus? How about the father who cleans the toilet bowl? Do fathers do that? Yeah, sometimes they do. Or mops the kitchen floor. Is mopping the kitchen floor spiritual? Imagine if it never got mopped. So, the question I really have for you today is, are you disillusioned in your work? And if you feel a disillusionment, a frustration, and you wonder, is there any real value spiritually to what my work is? I want to speak to you today. Sometimes people, if they're not going on a missions trip or teaching Sunday school or singing a song in church, they might not think their work is spiritual. They might think there's not really any value in this. And it's easy to get frustrated in our work environment thinking there's no spiritual value with this. But Jesus Christ changes everything. So I believe this, and this is in your notes. I think these are the first few blanks there if you're taking notes. On page 6 in our worship bulletin is that we live the gospel out in our work by these three ways. And all of our work ought to be done with the Lord. Because of the gospel, He has promised, He said, I will never leave you or what? That means when you go to work, who's with you? The Lord. He's with you. So we should be working with the Lord. We should be working knowing we're in His presence all the time. We have Him with us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And so because we have this union with Christ, not only is He with me, I'm in Him and He's in me. We're in union with Jesus Christ. He said, abide in me and I in you. And so where's Jesus? By His Spirit, He's in us through the Spirit of God. And we're in Him. We have this incredible union, oneness with Jesus. We're in His body. We've been baptized into the body of Christ at the moment of salvation, so we work through Him. We have His power. Claim His power. Do you know, I believe this. Whatever your job, maybe you drive a taxi. Maybe you sell things. Maybe you clean things. Maybe you're a secretary. Maybe you're in an office. Maybe you're out on the street. Maybe you're out on the road. I don't know exactly where. We're all working in different ways. But I believe that each of us needs the power of God to do our jobs. We need to believe that. We need to do this through the Lord with His power. And we do it for Him, ultimately. My ultimate boss in the job is Jesus Christ. I'm doing it for Him. I remember when I was a college student, I heard a message of a preacher, and he talked about the high adventure of the Christian life. And at that time, I was working in like a Home Depot kind of thing. It was they sold lumber, and so it wasn't Home Depot. It was more of a mom and pop place. Now it's out of business because of Home Depot and Lowe's and all those, you know. But it was like a lumber yard, lumber company, and sold all kinds of stuff like that. I was a stock guy, and I was just in college. I was a stock boy, and I cleaned the toilet bowls. I had three heads under me. I cleaned them all, you know. That was supposed to be a joke. Do you get that? Three heads. You know, they called the heads. I got guys. Maybe that's a. Sorry, they call a toilet bowl a head, you know, so I said I had three heads under me. Anyway, okay, sorry about that. But he preached the high adventure of the Christian life. And he said, if you clean that floor, you clean that floor as if Jesus were going to walk on that floor. So I was cleaning toilet bowls. I said, well, I want to clean the toilet as if Jesus were going to use the toilet and the sink. And so it really changed my attitude and perspective toward the work that I was doing. We want to do it for Him, through Him, and with Him. So let's look at this passage in Ephesians, please, chapter 5. And I want to just give five words that I hope would encourage you today. And I believe that it would be a great prize in your life for you to work a job that's truly worth doing and that you believe this is what God has called me to do. To work with such a passion so that your work is not work. You know, they say when you're enjoying your work, you're not working. That's a gift from God. To work well, to work hard so you can rest when you go home at night. So five words in this Ephesian passage, I believe, that can help us to live like that. And the first word is simply the word obedience. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. What does he say? As Paul is admonishing bondservants, slaves of the first century in Ephesus, in the Roman Empire, where there were slaves and freemen, and he's admonishing even slaves. He says, be obedient to them that are your masters. And Paul is saying this, as he says that in Ephesians 6, 5, servants, be obedient. I believe he's saying, have a sense that your obedience to your master, have a sense that your obedience to your employer, this is how the gospel informs our work, is obedience to God. That's what Paul is saying. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. And what are the last three words of verse 5? As unto Christ. Now some people say, I don't like my boss. If I work hard and do a good job, I'm going to make him look good. And I don't want to make him look good. But you're not working to make your boss look good. You're working to make Jesus look good. See, He's our master. He's our ultimate master. So Paul's telling these servants, who I'm sure wanted to run away from their jobs, he doesn't tell them to run away. He doesn't tell them to even go out and protest the injustice of slavery, and slavery is an injustice. But Paul says, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Colossians 3:22, he says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And so the point of this passage isn't whether you like your master or not. It's that the voice of your master, you need to hear the voice of the Lord in that voice. You say, I don't like my boss's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Just hear the voice of Jesus. Servants, be obedient. We must obey our boss or manager. You know how? What's the first verse of this chapter say? First verse, Ephesians 6:1. What does it say? Children, what? Obey who? Your parents. Now, any parent disagree with that? Parents like that one, right? You know it's the same word, obey, that children are to have, the obedience. That means to listen. The root word for obey is really to listen, to hear. To hear with understanding and then follow through on those instructions. And so, most parents that I've met expect their children to have a sense of gratefulness to obey them and follow what they're asking them to do and to show respect and honor for their mother and father. And Paul is saying, just as children are to obey their parents, so servants are to obey their masters. Wow. Now, we've all had rough bosses. I had a rough boss when I was also in college. I worked in Secaucus over here. I worked at a, they stored empty bottles, like they had like just mountain of Sprite bottles from here to the ceiling. And then when Sprite was ready to fill up those bottles, they would take the bottles out of that warehouse and ship them over to Sprite. So it was just all empty bottles. So that they would come in and they would take them off the forklift and then they would stack them up. And sometimes they would fall over. They would just cave in. It would be like a mountain of broken bottles. And guess what my job was? I had to go in and I had to take out the good ones and clean it all up. And it was really drudgery, menial work. I mean, it was mindless work and it was boring. And so I remember I had just become saved, and so I still liked my rock music. And so I had my little boombox back in the days of boomboxes, right? And cassette tapes, you know, and all. So I would bring it and put my cassette. What's he laughing at me with the boombox? So, and now my boss was vile. He was not a Christian. Every sentence he spoke, he cursed the name of Jesus Christ, literally. And whenever I tried to tell him about Jesus, he'd say, "Don't tell me about Jesus." I'd say, "Well, Al, you talk more about Jesus than I do." You know, that's what I would tell him. But I was a brand new Christian, and I was trying to live for the Lord there, and God was working in my heart. But so I was there cleaning up these, you know, Al told me to clean up this pile of empty, broken Sprite bottles, so I'm cleaning it up, and I'm listening to my boombox, and Al comes over and starts cursing
and at me and using the name of Jesus in vain and telling me to shut the music off in not so kind of a way. So guess what I had to do? And you know what? As I look back, that was the Lord at work in my life through this blasphemous man to get that music out of my life that I believe was very detrimental to my spiritual growth. So we have to obey our masters according to the flesh, even when our flesh doesn't want to. Number two, the word I want to give you is respect. Write these words down. Just five words. Obedience, number two, respect. Notice what he says, Ephesians 6:5. Servants, be obedient. And then he says, with what? Fear and trembling. That's really strong language. With fear and trembling. Now, go please, keep your finger there. Go over quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul used a very similar expression to describe his attitude and spirit when he went to carry the gospel into pagan Rome that was filled with all the sins that we learned about today, fornication and adultery and uncleanness and wicked living and immoral living. And notice what Paul's attitude was when he went to Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And look at verse 3. "And I was with you in what? In weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now you see those words? Weakness and fear. Paul tells servants to have the same mindset toward their masters that he had in carrying the gospel to pagan Rome. Now, how do you think Paul felt when he says, "I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling"? How do you think Paul felt that he said, I was with you with trembling and weakness"? Don't you think he felt inadequate in himself? And he needed who? He needed the power of God in him. That's what I get from that. That Paul sensed great personal weakness. And he needed to rely on the power of Christ. And he's telling servants to have the same mindset. You see, Paul is removing here all drudgery from the most menial kind of work filled with drudgery. He's saying, and he's injecting it with great dignity, the dignity of adventure, with weakness, with fear and trembling, with a sense of need, of reliance upon the Lord, because you're inadequate. You cannot relate properly to the people around you in yourself. You're going to blow up. You're going to make a mess. We need the power of God. All of us do, every moment. So the gospel does this work in us as we're in union with Jesus, as we're filled by the Holy Spirit. And what I find also in comparing these two scriptures, Paul going to Corinth with fear and trembling, and Paul telling servants to work with the same description of words, is that there's no difference between the so-called spiritual work of carrying the gospel, preaching the gospel. Wow, well, that's a great work, right? And being a slave. And cleaning out the barn or whatever menial works of drudgery that those slaves and servants in the Roman Empire had to do. That they were to do it with a passion and a devotion and a sense of gratefulness. And this puts no difference between the secular and the sacred. When something is done with God, something is done through God, something is done for God, it has an eternal value. And that's the point I want to make. You have to believe that your work has eternal benefits. He's telling these slaves, do this with fear and trembling. And I believe Paul's counsel to these slaves ultimately overturned the institution of slavery in the Roman Empire. Because God started saving slaves and their slave owners, and the realization came to them what was the right thing to do, and Rome did away ultimately with slavery. I believe it was the gospel that set the slaves free ultimately. So, it's an amazing thing. Thomas Edison, I was looking for different quotes about work. Thomas Edison, you know, we all know Edison invented the light bulb and all kinds of inventions. The phonograph and the movie pictures, right? I don't know if we should be thankful for all those inventions or not, but nevertheless, he said something like this. He said, opportunity for work is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls. Kind of like this. This is when we went to Haiti and we helped build a house. I don't know if it's still standing after this last earthquake or the last hurricane they had, but it made me think of that. Opportunity, Edison said, is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and it looks like work. Well, we need the power of God. We need to work with respect and with obedience. So the third word I want to give you is passion. And here we go now to verse number 6. He says, or at the end of verse 5 still, he says, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers. He says, in singleness of your heart. What does that mean? That means wholehearted. That means work with a passion. In singleness of heart is focus. Focus on your job. In other words, if you're supposed to be typing a letter on your job, don't be talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. Okay? If you're supposed to be a sanitation worker putting the garbage into the truck, don't be over there passing out tracts to the neighbors. That's not the time to pass. I'm all for passing out tracts, but I'm making that point. That when we work, we have to work in singleness of heart for the ones that we're working for. And we need to have a sense that God is with us and He's watching us. Whatever your job is God with you? And He's in you and He's working through you and He's ultimately going to give you the best reward. You haven't even gotten paid yet. The best pay you're going to get. And I actually believe whatever you do as for the Lord, through the Lord, and with the Lord, if you do it faithfully, you will get as much reward in the judgment of Christ because you're doing what God's called you to do. You will get as much reward doing that as any missionary or any pastor. There's no difference between the secular and sacred. If the missionary is doing what God has called him to do, and you're a lawyer and you're doing what God has called you to do, then I believe if both serve the Lord faithfully and with a single-minded passion, they'll get that equal reward. Singleness of heart, undistracted, full effort, diligent. That's the idea. Not lazy. It's easy to be lazy at work. It's easy to shirk work. And it is amazing how people who are not very creative can figure out very creative ways to get out of work. They become artists all of a sudden, you know? And people, how many of you have been told on your job by a coworker, don't work hard, you'll make me look bad? How many of you have been told that? I was told that at the places, pretty much everywhere I've worked. Now, laziness may look attractive. And we might think of that person who doesn't work, who just sits around all day and drinks tea, a lazy person who never works. Laziness may look attractive, but it's not satisfying. Work is satisfying. And rest is the result of good, hearty work. What does the Bible say? Consider the ant. Because one thing an ant is not, is lazy. Don't shelve your faith when you go to work. Work out your faith at your job with a passion in what you're doing. And by your good works, God will be glorified. Have a passion. So just a few things here, and I just listed these, and I'm just going to list them quickly. This is on page 7 in your notes. Why work with a passion? Work is whose idea? What does it say? God's idea. What does work do? It what? Glorifies God. Why do we work with a passion? It provides life's needs. We have to work. It provides life's needs. What will work do? It will develop my character. What does work allow? Work allows me to be generous. You know, if we don't work, you know what we might fall into? Being a thief. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, actually, he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Paul is saying, really, a thief stops being a thief, not when he stops stealing, but when he starts working and begins to give. You trust a person that's giving. If somebody's giving, you're not thinking he's going to steal from you. Labor with your hands so you have to give. That's one of the reasons why we work. Work allows me to be generous. It provides a sense of accomplishment. And our service and our work is worship for the Lord. So he says, in singleness of heart, not as men pleasers. And I already kind of mentioned that. Not as men pleasers. You know what that is, right? I mean, that's obvious. Just to work when who's looking? The boss. Now, if somebody works harder when the boss is watching, who are they really trying to please? They're trying to please the boss. Who should a Christian ultimately be seeking to please? The Lord. When is He watching? He's watching all the time. You see? There's a difference. The gospel changes everything here. That's why He says, not as men pleasers. Because I'm not working to please men. I'm working to please who? Jesus, who shed His blood on the cross for my sins and rose again and now lives in me. And it's Christ in me. We need to have a passion for work. Question, did Jesus have a passion for His job, for His work? Did Jesus have a passion for it? Look what He says, John chapter 9, verse 4. It's a great statement about work. I must work. I must work. The works of Him. So whatever those works of Him are, it could be a construction work. You could be a plumber or an electrician. You could be a doctor or an accountant. Whatever the work is, you work with your mind and you write, or you work with your hands and you fix, or you build. Whatever it is, but the works of Him that sent me. God has called us to live and to do a work for Him. By the way, maybe you're retired. Continue working. Because work is satisfying. Work is good. Work is not a curse. Work is God's idea. Work was before sin, right? In the garden, we actually looked at that a few weeks ago. God had Adam to work before there was sin. There's nothing sinful at all about work. Work is good. God made us to work. Jesus was sent to work. While it is day, we don't have much time. The night comes when no man can work. So when you do what you love, you don't feel like you're working. So have a passion for it. The fourth word I want to give you is the word calling. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, he says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So here, the principle here is we have to believe God that He has called us to that job. Whatever your job is. Now, if it's not a legitimate job, if it's a bad job, if it's a job of darkness, then definitely get out of that work. But, you know, if it's a, I believe most of us will have, I think all of us, hopefully, will have legitimate jobs here. But some people, obviously, if they're in the prostitution business, let's say, or the pornography business, and they become saved, they ought to get out of that business. Get out of the works of darkness. But have a sense that God has called you to that job, whatever job it is. And do not minimize your work that God has called you to do. Don't minimize that in your mind. Don't think that it's not as important as the work that somebody else has called them, been called to do. See your job as what God has called you to do, and if He's called you to do, do it. Do it with all your heart. And again, I look at the words of Jesus Christ. I love these words of Jesus when He said, "My meat, that is my satisfaction, is to what? Do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work." That's definitely one of life's prizes. To do a work that God has called you to do. And then do that work believing it's worth doing. Now it might be mundane. It might seem petty. But if God has called you to do it, then there's nothing mundane about it. By the way, I think all of our jobs have mundane aspects to it. I know some people think, like the pastor, a pastor has some really holy spiritual work, and other people's jobs are just not as important as a pastor's. I fully disagree. I've been a pastor long enough, and I've been around other pastors long enough to know that we're more than just normal and flawed people. And many jobs that even a pastor does are very mundane, especially in the home. Like, my job is to clean the kitty litter. Now, there's nothing exciting about doing the kitty. I got to do it actually today, I think. But my cat really appreciates that. And my cat thinks I am serving the Lord when I am cleaning the kitty litter out. Because that will be one frustrated cat. Or whether you do the recycle. How many of you have to do the recycle? We recycle paper and plastic and glass and blah, 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 blah. We recycle it all. It's okay. But it's mundane and it's boring and it's just something that has to be done. But you do it. Whether you cut the grass or you weed the garden or you have to mop or you have to dust every now and then. Oh. But when you finish a job, there's a satisfaction there. It's like yesterday when we were climbing up Bear Mountain and we were like thinking, well, we should turn around now. We didn't know that there was actually a reward. You know, at a certain point, you get a beautiful view. So we pressed on and we enjoyed that. And we were all, everybody to a T, we were all very happy we went to the top there. It was satisfying. So that's what Jesus is saying. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And I would just say this to you as your pastor. I want my heart for you guys is that you're engaged in a job, in a work that will really bring you a great sense of satisfaction, a great sense of fulfillment, a great sense of calling, that you have been called to do this job and you are doing it as to the Lord, and you feel that this is exact, you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. That's really what I want. Because you know what? That's how I've lived. And I feel satisfaction from that. I'm not ever going to be rich doing what I'm doing, but I'm not here to be rich. We're here to do the will of God. And lastly is the word reward. That's the last word. So the five words are obedience, respect, passion, calling, and reward. Reward is in verse 8. He says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, whether he's slave man or free man. There is, and then he says down in verse 9, notice what he says, and you masters do the same things to them. So he's telling the boss men, the CEOs, the masters of the slaves, you have the same sense of obedience and respect and calling in your life, and you treat them with that respect, forbearing, threatened. Don't threaten them. And there he's putting boundaries on how they would treat their slaves and their employees, if you will, knowing that your master also is in heaven. And look what God says at the end of verse 9. It's a very important statement. Neither is there respect of persons with him. So Paul is telling workers that payday is coming. And how many of you are motivated to get up to go to work because you get paid? Okay, you know, of course, right? You wouldn't do it. You're like, I wouldn't go through that if there wasn't a payday. Okay, fine, I understand that. Because we have needs that need to be cared for. But the ultimate payday hasn't yet come. Look what that says. That verse says that the Lord Himself will give that reward. The same shall He receive of the Lord. And so serve the Lord. Romans 2:6 says, God will render to every man according to his deeds. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13 says that all of our works will pass through the fire. And the day of judgment will manifest what kind of work and how we've done it, the motivation of our work. All of our works will be judged by the Lord. Now, as believers, our salvation will not be judged. Our sins will not be judged. Jesus Christ bore our sins on the cross. But our work will be. So Paul tells these slave owners, those who are bond, those who are free, to work with passion, to work with excellence, as to the Lord, not unto men. And then he says, there's no partiality. If a man is a servant or a master, in God's sight, they're equally image bearers of the Lord. The master does not have greater value than the servant. The master might be richer, but in God's sight, God has no partiality. Now, we have partiality, don't we? It's very hard not to have partiality. In other words, we meet somebody and we say, oh, what do you do? And what do we mean? We mean, what kind of work do you do? People, that's like one of the basic questions that we might ask somebody. I'll put that up. We need to believe God will reward our faithful service. So, we're often defined by our work, aren't we not? What are we doing? If somebody says, oh, I'm a doctor or a lawyer, we might be impressed. Maybe we'll even be intimidated because of what we do. If somebody says, oh, I'm a union guy, we'll feel like, oh, a hard hat, you know. Maybe it's somebody I could just talk normal. You know, we're easily swayed in a sense. And many times, we can put too much value on our work, or not enough value on our work, depending on what we do. So as I close here today, I just want to challenge us that ultimately our value before God is not based on our work. God doesn't love somebody who makes more money and is more highly educated more than someone who makes less money and has no education. God loves every man the same, and all men, all women, have equal value before God. A stay-at-home dad has as much value as a stay-at-home mom. A stay-at-home mom has as much value as a secretary for a very well-known company. We're all equal before God in our value. We're not valuable to God by our work. We're valuable to God because. Just because. God said that to Israel in the Old Testament. I love you because. Well, why? Just because. I made you and I love you. He loves us because we're His by creation. He loves us because He put us here to serve Him. And then He loves us because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. When we think about value, how do we measure value? You know, what is something worth? How do you measure value and worth? I say, I have this clicker. It is so cool. You know, I can click this, you know. Oh, it's so cool. But how much is it worth? You know how much this is worth? What someone will pay for it. It's worth no more or no less than what someone will pay for it. That's its value. So, God wanted you. What did He pay for you? What did He pay for you? He poured out the blood of His Son. The blood of God manifests in the flesh was shed for us. So we have incredible value in God's sight. All of us do. Now, I don't know, maybe you saw this picture. Rocky inspired a lot of people back in the day. There's even a statue of Rocky in Philadelphia. It's a very popular movie. But you know what Rocky kind of did? Rocky kind of made an idol out of his work. Boxing. His idol was to go to distance with Apollo Creed. This is what he said in one of his, I think the first movie. He said, "Nobody's ever gone the distance with Creed. And if I can go that distance, you see, and that bell rings, you know, and I'm standing, I'm going to know for the first time in my life, you see, that I weren't just some bum from the neighborhood." That's what Rocky said. "If I can just go the distance, then everybody will know I'm not just some bum from the neighborhood." What if he didn't go to distance? What if he didn't go the distance? Is he just going to be a bum? See, what's he getting his value from? He's made an idol. His idol is, "I've got to go to distance to be anything. If I'm going to be anything in this world, I got to go to distance, you know. You see." That was his idol. And many people do make idols of their jobs. And what they do, oh, by the way, "Yo, Adrian, I did it." I don't know if you can see that. "I went the distance." But it was Hollywood. It wasn't real. Many times in life, you don't go to distance. You're a bum. In the world's sight. And many people, because they feel like they're bums and they're trying to get their value, they're trying to achieve value from their job, they've made an idol of their jobs, they'll sacrifice everything. They're successful at work, but their marriage has fallen apart and they've failed and their wife is divorcing them and their children hate them and they've lost their health and they've made all kinds of money. Now they have to go spend that money to get their health back. And many people sacrifice not only their marriages, their children, their health, but their spiritual lives. Because they don't want to just be another bum from the neighborhood. Well, what saves us from that thinking? What saves us from just being a bum in this world? And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our value isn't based on how much money we make and how successful people we might think that they are. But our ultimate value is in the fact that Jesus Christ gave everything to buy us. And when we believe on Him, we are His child. And we're going to walk the streets of gold one day. And we know we're not saved by our works. That means our 9-to-5 job or any other work. But we are saved unto good works and for good works. And we don't minimize doing good works for the Lord. But good works alone don't save. Jesus' work saves. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. The eminent scientist and inventor, Lord Kelvin, was once asked, "What is the greatest discovery you've ever made?" And his reply was, "The greatest discovery I ever made was that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior." I hope you've made that discovery. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads, our hearts before God. Let's pray. Lord, help us to live the gospel, knowing that we're living for You. We have Your presence, Your power. We serve for Your prize. Lord, help us to be obedient on our jobs as we serve You. Help us to work with respect towards those around us, with fear and trembling, because we don't want to dishonor You. Give us grace to speak words of kindness on our jobs. Take away all cursing and filthiness from our mouths and our lips. Help us not to even go into the gutter when the conversation and the jokes become filthy and dirty in this day and age of gutter politics. We know we're not far from the gutter at any moment. Lord, have mercy on us today to truly live the gospel with a passion on our jobs, with a sense that we've been called to our jobs, knowing that You will reward us. How many of you say, Pastor Matt, I praise God that He saved me and He's called me to serve Him. And it is my true joy to have a job in which I am serving my God. Can I see your hand? Just put it up to the Lord. And you say, well, I'm struggling with that. Well, put your hand up and affirm it before God. And even let the wicked spirits who are probably watching to see where we are and where we're at, let them even know that we're standing for Jesus. We're going to serve our Jesus on our jobs. We're going to work with obedience, respect, passion, a sense of calling, and a reward from God. How many of you say, thank God, He's going to reward me someday for my faithful work? Put your hand up and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Make it your prayer, Lord. Help me to glorify You on my job. Provide my needs through my job, Lord. Build up my character on my job. Allow me to be generous through the money that I make. Allow, dear God, not only my needs to be met, but that there could be extra to give to those in need. Give me a sense of accomplishment from my work, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. How many would say, Pastor Matt, I'm not sure I'm saved. But by the grace of God, I do believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And today I'm putting my faith and trust in Him. I need salvation. Pray for me today. Can I see your hand? Is there anyone that we could pray with you about this most important decision? Like Lord Kelvin said, the greatest decision he made was that Jesus Christ was Savior and Lord. Have you made that decision? Say, I've not made it yet, but today I'm ready to make that decision to call upon the Lord to save me from my sins. Is there anyone? Can I see your hand? Thank you, Lord, now for this day. We praise You, God. Work in our lives. Bless our church. Lord, bless those who have started businesses. Bless their businesses, Lord. Give them clients and prosper them. Oh God, would You work mightily in each and every life, in each and every family, in each and every individual, and reward them with joy and satisfaction in their work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.